We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Let's do this!
And now, Chuck and Winkler. Live from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studio.
Listen up, people!
On Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler, we are served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That is Chuck Freeman. It is NBA trade deadline day. Now, a lot of trades going down yesterday, and today's been pretty quiet. There was about 5 hours to go before the trade deadline is here. Rod Beard is out in Detroit, where the Pistons are pretty active so far over the last 24 hours. They, of course, made a big one last year with Blake Griffin, and I don't know if Thon Maker is on that level, but that's who they've acquired from the Milwaukee Bucks for Stanley Johnson. Rod Beard joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Rod, thanks for a couple minutes. How are you?
Hi, Rod.
Hey, not a problem at all. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Tell us a little about Stanley Johnson. We saw him play in the NCAA tournament against Wisconsin when he was with Arizona. He was a one and done with the Wildcats, but he came to the Pistons, and would you say he's been a disappointment so far?
Well, disappointment for where he was drafted at the number 8 overall slot in that 2015 draft, that they thought they could develop him and make him a better offensive player. And they loved his athleticism, his defense, his energy that he brought, and his build. And when you look at him, he looks like a prototypical NBA-type guy at about 6'7", about 240, 250 pounds, but just moves around really well. It's just it never translated into an offensive weapon that they thought he could be.
The book on him, or from what I read, just like the little one-shot line, is Stanley Johnson can play defense, can't shoot. Is that about it for him, or is there more to his game that can be uncovered yet?
Well, I think he's really good in transition, and that's been his strength, is that he's like a bowling ball. He's almost like LeBron James in transition in the way that he handles, and nobody's going to want to step in front of him to take a charge. The problem is he's got more of a finesse game in transition, is that he's not going up to dunk it. He's going up to kind of lay it up, and that's something that they can improve in his game, that he's going to be a little bit more aggressive and use that power and use that body type that he's got more to his advantage.
Okay. What are some of the upsides of him? I mean, can he get better than this? Can he continue to prove? Can he contribute to a Bucks team that can put up 150 points on a given night?
Yeah, I think he can. He can play a Tony Snell-type role, and certainly in guarding a lot of different positions. He can guard a Klay Thompson, a Kevin Durant. He can guard three positions, and so he will take the best scorer on another team, and he will handle that and hold that guy down, depending on the role and the number of minutes that he's going to play. If you put him in a position where he doesn't have to shoot and he doesn't have to score, and certainly the Bucks bench has those other guys where he won't be pressed into doing that, I think that's the best fit for him. He's just young and a lot of energy and a lot of growth that he's got to do. And anytime you have a change of scenery and you go to a new team, it's almost like changing schools. You can create your own new personality and your own calling card for what kind of player you can be in the NBA.
Talking with Rod Beard, DetroitNews.com, Thon Maker will have that situation now in Detroit. And with Thon Maker, I'm not really sure if he wanted to get traded. His agent came out and said, hey, we want to trade. We want to play more. It might have just been a ploy to get more trading time, or playing time, rather. And then the Bucks are like, well, let's just trade him. Thon Maker, tall guy, he can stretch the floor. Is there an immediate role for him in Detroit with how the team is constructed right now? Because the Pistons, from afar, Rod, it looks like they're trying to figure out their identity, too.
Yeah, I think it's a sort of deal is that they've got to figure out a way where defensively Thon Maker can help out. And at 7'1", he's not an outstanding rebounder, but neither is Stanley Johnson for his size at about 6'7". You would think that he would be a little bit better. But Thon Maker can step in, and he can play some backup power forward behind Griffin and just ease into a role. They're trying to limit Blake's minutes now and get him down from 36 minutes a game, try to get him to a more manageable number. And if Maker can come in and play and just play hard. I think that's going to earn him a few more minutes here and there.
Okay, what's going on with Henry Ellenson? He never plays anymore, and he's from here. Played at Marquette, came out of Rice Lake and highly touted and all that, but man, should he have stayed in school a little longer, you think?
I don't know if that's the issue. I think it's more defensively, does he have an NBA fit? It's harder for him to guard NBA power forwards, and certainly centers is a challenge for him, and he doesn't move his feet very well. He's a lights-out shooter in practice. I mean, we watch him and just kind of marvel at his ability. He's generally the last guy out of Pistons practice. It's just that I think it's the same thing with him. He needs a change of scenery, and a coach that believes in him is going to give him some playing time to be able to show some of that. In the limited time he's had with the Pistons, when he's gotten on the court, it's just been really hard for him to guard those backup fours. And if he doesn't find a role there in the league, I don't know where it's going to be, because he's not really a center, and he's more of a mobile four on the offensive end, but he just can't guard that on the other end of the court.
Talking with Rod Beard, are the Pistons, this might be a weird question, but you never know with some of these teams. They're 24-29. They're a game and a half out of the eighth seed. Do they want to make the playoffs? Are they actively trying, or are they looking ahead to the future right now?
I think they are actively trying because of that margin. It's only a game and a half, and if you look at the number seven seed, it's probably another game away from that. I think the ceiling for them is the number six. They might feel like they can catch Brooklyn in that sixth spot if they get on a hot streak. The fact that the Pistons have the 28th strongest schedule remaining is they have some wins in there that they can get against. They've got a back-to-back against the Knicks that they're playing. They play the Bulls and the Cavs a few more times. There are some wins in there to be had, and they're through the hardest part of their schedule. It's just now, can they start stacking wins on top of wins? Because you don't want to get in the playoffs and play the Bucks. The Bucks swept the Pistons in the four games this season. You don't want to play necessarily the Sixers either, who look like they could be in play for the two seed. The Pistons get to the six seed, I think that would be the ceiling for them, and they'd feel like they had a lot of success because they've only been to the postseason once in the past decade. So it's just incremental steps for them in trying to improve and get some more experience for their young guys.
Bucks currently at 40-13, almost as many wins as they've had a year ago at this point. I mean, Bucks fever has caught on big time here in Milwaukee. Do you look at them as the team to be most likely to come out of the East, or are you thinking of the Raptors or the Celtics or even now the Sixers after that Tobias Harris deal?
I like what the Sixers have done, but I think the Bucks have the question for them is going to be playoff experience. And when it comes down to a game six, do they have what it takes to pull out a game? And certainly them potentially having home field advantage home court advantage is going to help them when they get there. And that's what you play the regular season for, is to get that advantage. I think they've got all the pieces that are there. And defensively, can they play playoff intensity, defensive basketball? The Stanley Johnson addition helps them in that regard because it gives them another guy. When you look at Bledsoe, Brogdon, certainly Giannis, Tony Snell, now you add Johnson, you've got some pieces there that can really lock down a team and play some tough defense. That might have been the missing piece and the biggest question mark. And when you look at the home court advantage, I think that's going to play into it as well. It might come down to the Sixers and what the Sixers are able to do. I don't have a lot of faith in what Boston is doing right now either. So, yeah, I think they're right there in that conversation of coming out of the East.
Rod Beard, DetroitNews.com. Rod, we appreciate a few minutes, and maybe we'll talk in the playoff time if the Pistons get the 8th seed and then get swept by the Bucks.
Absolutely. I appreciate the opportunity. Thanks, guys.
Rod Beard joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. You can follow him on Twitter at DET News, Rod Beard, DetroitNews.com for Rod Beard. Great Midwest Bank, looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019? Guys, look no further and call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935.
Okay. Well, it sounds like we got a guy who can pretty much do what Tony Snell has been doing for a cheap price.
Leads to the question, are the Bucks going to move Tony Snell today?
I don't know. I mean, that's a real good question.
I'm a pretty smart guy.
But I mean, if they move him, see, I would love to have Mirotić here.
Yeah, I know. We've wanted Mirotić for 4 years.
Yeah, but I mean, now he's available.
Right.
$12.6 million. You get him for the rest of the season. Could you? I mean, would they take Snell? But Snell, this, how many years left does Snell have of that contract, though?
Essentially, two. He's got this year and then next year. So he's making 10.6 right now, 11.3 next year, and then 12.1 in 2020. That's a player option, but I don't know if he's going to get that on the open market. If he thinks he can, then he'll probably decline it. But I would think that a guy like Tony Snell barely plays.
Yeah.
If he's going to get paid $12.2 million,
yeah,
you take that.
Yeah.
We're like, Chris Middleton's got a player option for $13 next year. There ain't no way in hell he's accepting that.
No.
But
no,
Tony
no.
Snell,
no.
I mean, he could.
Bucks would love for him to accept that that player option, but it's not happening.
Yeah, if we could just get Chris Middleton to accept the $13 next year.
Oh. Been doing living large, man.
Everyone would love him then.
Absolutely, yeah. But at $25 million, yeah, I don't know.
But you'd have to throw something in on that because that's where we thought Thon Maker could be. Like, if you're the Pelicans, if I get Thon Maker, I'll take Tony Snell's contract, sure. But now they traded him for Stanley Johnson. I don't quite get that move right away.
Well, here's what it is. I think they traded him.
Because there were a lot of other guys that I thought you could put Thon into a deal for, and they just one-for-one'd him. I mean, sure, you shed. What was Thon making this season? 3? So you shed that for next year, but you also.
I don't know if it was shedding salary with him. I think what you did is you thought, well, Thon's not going to help us this season, and maybe, you know, we've reached our limit.
But the
best
you could get is Stanley Johnson?
I know.
Who already plays what Tony Snell does?
Yeah. Well, that's why maybe they're trying to deal Snell today, but Johnson, a guy who can at least. Maybe play some defense. That's it. Yeah, but that's how maybe. I'm sure they've checked out everything on the market, and this was the best they could do. And they wanted to trade him before the trading deadline, and this is the best that they could come up with. Johnson.
There was concern from national writer Matt Moore, CBS, said, I get Thon Maker wanted out, but Milwaukee loses something by not having him to throw out at switchable 5 in the playoffs. They'll have to use the Giannis at 5 lineups now if Lopez gets schemed out. One of the issues that Matt Moore at Hardwood Paroxim on Twitter, well-respected there, has been worried about for the Bucks is that if teams scheme Lopez out, the Bucks are going to lose a lot in the playoffs. So what this is going to do now is if they have to go a little smaller, you could put Giannis at the 5 and then give DJ Wilson some run. Those lineups have been doing very well for the Bucks. But then you're going to ask now with this trade, you're asking DJ Wilson to not just perform like he has in the regular season, but then bring it up a level in the playoffs.
Yeah. But can he, though? I mean, they've gotten a lot out of him so far this season. I mean, did you see the shot at the rim last night? He had 2 or 3 cracks at the rim on a basket, right underneath the basket. He couldn't put it in. I mean, that's unacceptable right there. I don't know if, you know, asking him to step it up, is it possible? How much better can he get this season?
Well, in December, he wasn't playing, and now he is playing a lot and excelling. So,
well, he's not excelling.
In my eyes, he's excelling.
He's not excelling. We're talking about, if this is a championship-level team, he's got to be better than that, but can he be better than that?
I've talked to a lot of NBA writers that have already submitted him for first-team all-defense.
A guy who doesn't even start?
I mean, I've just the people I've talked to.
Okay.
It's Chuck and Winkler. We are served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. More on the NBA trade deadline, what the Bucks could do, and that former Buck that got dealt.
A joke.
What?
Yours.
No, I've talked to NBA writers that want to put DJ Wilson on the Yeah, you're right.
See, when you tell a joke, because you never you don't tell jokes, but when you tell a joke, should I tell you how to tell a joke?
Should you tell me how to tell a joke? Was that the joke?
We went over this yesterday. All right. Everybody settle down. Please.
You're booing my family.
Yes. No, Peter,
wow.
No.
Terrible.
No. No booing when you talk about the Q Club of Wisconsin. You meant boo me, but not the Q Club of Wisconsin. It's your place to watch all your favorite sports action. There you go. You got a player. Favorite sports action all winter long. The Q Club of Wisconsin. Get it for the tournaments next month, obviously. And, of course, all the pro basketball. that's going to be going on, the terrific pro basketball for the next several months here. The Q Club of Wisconsin is your place to do all that. They got the huge entertainment room, the pool tables, the Toronto foosball, shuffleboards, the electronic darts, the ping pong. They got a ton of stuff there, right there in their huge entertainment room. And, of course, they got the bocce ball, the indoor bocce ball. The indoor courts there have just been a raving success, let's say. They put these courts in. And people have come and they've played, and they would love for you to play because there is room to play at the Q Club of Wisconsin on Waukesha's north side. The food, well, the food at the Q Club is terrific. They don't have to take a backseat to anybody when it comes to sports bar food. It is terrific. It's fresh. It's delicious. The awesome burgers, the wings, the appetizers, the award-winning fish fries, both on Friday nights and Wednesday nights. The fish fries, your choice. Four different styles piled high with all the extras. Live entertainment, they got that on the weekend. Go to the Facebook page, tell you all the live entertainment you need on the weekends at the Q Club of Wisconsin. And, of course, they're always your place if you're going to have a little party, a little get-together. They got the VIP suite. They got the private rooms. The Q Club of Wisconsin, located 2454 North Grandview Boulevard, the north side, the great north side of Waukesha. Get there today, get there tonight, or this weekend. It's a half mile south of I-94. Get off on the Highway T exit, go a half mile south in, and you'll see it. Highway T turns into Grandview Boulevard, and you'll see the sign, Q Club of Wisconsin. Go in, good food, sports on all the TVs, and, of course, that huge entertainment room as well. The Q Club of Wisconsin on Waukesha's great north side.
We'll do Five for Frames coming up here.
Yeah.
We'll talk some trade history with the Bucks. We'll talk some Marquette, Wisconsin, and some other trade stuff. N8 on Twitter. Nate,
yeah.
Nate, maybe?
Yeah.
N8, Nate. So an hour ago, we were talking about David Gruber, right?
Yes, because he never gets talked about in Milwaukee, ever.
Well, I had said that I was tired of seeing him after every three-point shot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I go to my Bucks game to watch the Bucks, not a Gruber commercial. And then people started calling in to complain about David Gruber. And we were talking about his tagline, one call, that's all.
Yes, and he shakes his face. But he does it.
Is that my best impression? It's pretty good.
No, I think you could do it better. Let's tee it up again.
One call, that's all.
Yeah.
That was worse somehow.
I think that was actually better.
So that's a national. We were surprised to learn that it wasn't just Gruber's saying. So Nate tweeted in, he said, check out this mashup that my stepdad made.
Mm-hmm.
One call.
Una llamada es todo.
One call. That's all.
Huh?
One call. That's all.
One call. That's all.
One click. One call. That's all.
Make one call. That's all.
One call. That's all.
So those are lawyers across the country.
Okay, so that's probably a trademark of the Lawyer Association of America, maybe?
Who knows?
Yeah, so...
Gruber's a fraud!
He did not invent it.
It's Chuck and Winkler. We are served up by
Perkins.
Or
are they stealing from him?
It's time to go inside the mind of Chuck Freeman.
Ugh, it's gross.
That's a scary thought. It's time for Five for Freeman. Five burning questions for Chuck Freeman. This is Chuck and Winkler on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That is Chuck Freeman. This is Five for Frames, five burning questions for Chuck Freeman. You could play along at home, everybody. Question number one, are you ready, Chuck?
Yeah.
Chuck, there are 40 teams that have never won a pro sports championship in hockey, baseball, football, and basketball. And if you want to double check on your answer, we can certainly do that. But the question for you is, if you had to bet your life on one team that has never won a title, for them to never win a title in the history of the world.
Oh, that they're just destined to lose?
Yeah, you had to bet your life on it, that a certain team will never win a title. Who would you bet on? The Brewers
pros.
Could fall in that category.
Pros, right?
Yeah, just and pros. If you just need to double check on a team, I can give it for you.
I'll say
You bet your entire life on this team to never win a title.
I'm going to say that I think the Minnesota Timberwolves will never win a championship.
Ah.
I'm going to say them. They might be the new destination of nobody wants to go there and play.
Wow.
That might be it. Timberwolves.
Why the Timberwolves?
I just think going up north,
up north.
But, I mean, that's even further up north. That's even further.
It's basically Canada.
Yeah. They've had no winning tradition.
But not like Toronto, like the Yukon territory.
Yeah. I mean, they've been around for a while now. They've been around for like 30 years, I want to say. And
89.
They haven't done much at all. And I'm going to say, you know, they had a little run there with Garnett, and then he got out. I'm going to say Minnesota. I'm going to say the Timberwolves will never win a title.
How about the Minnesota Vikings? Do you think they'll ever win a title? Four Super Bowls.
Someday they're going to get over the end, but they haven't been in a Super Bowl in a while. Someday they're going to get over the hump.
The Utah Jazz?
You know, the Jazz have always had really good teams. I mean, they've had good teams, and they had, you know, those teams in the 90s, but, you know, there was always Michael Jordan on the other side.
The Indiana Pacers?
Pacers might be a tough spot, too.
How about the Milwaukee Brewers?
No, I'm beginning to feel the other way around that. I used to feel like our two teams were just destined to never win.
Yeah.
I'm starting to turn the corner on that right now. And I hope that... I think there's a sentiment with the Brewers, not only with you and I, but maybe we're in for a little letdown with them. So I'm curious to see if they can keep this winning going this season. And that it's just... Because we've seen that before with the Brewers, where they've won for a year, 08 and 2011, yet they followed it up with a poor encore.
Yeah, I'll say it right now, and everyone can get mad at me. I don't think the Brewers are going to make the playoffs.
They had so many things go right for them, and this division is so tough. I'm not going to go there just yet. I think they're going to have a good team.
I do, too. I think they'll win 90 games.
I don't think they're going to win 96 games again.
No, I think they're going to miss by a game or two.
No, I'm going to say...
Sorry.
They're going to... I picked them to win the division last year. But
now,
I think
they're
going
to... Does that mean I want them to miss the playoffs? No.
Well, put that on Twitter, and you'll get everybody assuming.
Well, we put on Twitter, are the Bucks this good, or is the league that bad? And we are getting destroyed.
Because... Okay.
Jay, just answer the question. They're that good, and move on with your day.
Bart, a year ago, if you had to put this question on Twitter, who would you rather have your coach? Brad Stevens or Mike Budenholzer? Everybody. And I'm telling you, everybody would have chosen Brad Stevens. Okay, everybody. Everybody.
No, not Leroy Butler. He would have taken Tyronn Lue over Brad Stevens.
Okay, Brad Stevens. Okay.
Sorry, mostly Leap. Got to bring it up.
Mostly everybody. Okay, I'll give you that then. Mostly everybody. But, of course, now Budenholzer's our guy, and he's won 40 games. You know, Brad Stevens. No, I would gladly take Budenholzer or Brad Stevens. Like, Brad Stevens could coach Y-ball. So...
My answer is the Orlando Magic.
You know, they had a great run in the 90s, and they should have.
Yeah.
Man, they had draft picks stacked up. They had Hardaway. They had Grant. Mm-hmm. They had Shaq. And it fell apart quickly.
This is two separate questions, but once you hear the first one, you'll probably be able to guess what the second one is. Question number two, what was the best trade in Milwaukee Bucks history?
Another good question. Best trade in Bucks history. I can think of a lot of bad ones.
Well, that'll be next.
You know, the trade of Kareem? You're trading Kareem. But they got some good things back on that, and that led them to a nice run from 1978. For about a 10-year run it gave them.
That would be trading Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Walt Wesley.
Yeah.
For Elmore Smith, Brian Winters, Dave Myers, and Junior Bridgman.
Yeah. And plus, one of the years they sunk down to the bottom, and they got a number one pick out of that. So, yeah, I mean, they had short-term pain, long-term success.
How about the Oscar Robertson trade? And the Big O came over here for Flynn Robinson and Charlie Paulk.
That might be the steal, too. You got Robertson, who maybe people thought were washed up at the time, but he came here and helped lead them to the 71 championship.
How about when the Bucks traded your boy Kent Benson for Bob Lanier?
Oh, okay. There it is. No. That right there. When they traded Kent Benson for Lanier. Now, Lanier looked like he was 100 years old when he came here, but he was like 31. But that one took the Bucks to the division championship. And, you know, finally they got over the hump. Benson, one of the worst first-round picks ever. Number one picks out of Indiana. But to get... to have to give up him for Lanier was a steal. I could never understand why Pistons gave up Lanier for Benson. And, yeah, that one right there. Thanks for refreshing my mind. Yeah, that was, I want to say that was 1980?
Yeah.
80. Oh, yeah, getting Big Bob Lanier, who still had some gas left in the tank. All right. He wasn't the 24-point-a-game scorer in Detroit, but he didn't have to do that here. He scored about 15, 16 a game, and the Dauber was the man. He was the glue on that team.
Question number three, so conversely, what was the worst trade in Milwaukee Bucks history?
I really hated the Marcus Johnson trade. Trading him for Terry Cummings, a guy who never passed up a shot, I hated that trade. I despised it. That one right there. I would say the Marcus Johnson for Terry Cummings. I mean, those were the two big stars in that trade.
Marcus Johnson, Junior Bridgman, Harvey Catchings for Terry Cummings, Craig Hodges, and Ricky Pierce.
Harvey Catchings might have been the worst shooter in Bucks history. God, that guy had... I mean, he was terrible. But he was a good defender, and he could block shots. A junior, one of the best six men in the game. But I did not like that move.
There's an article at BehindTheBuckPass.com that ranks the Marcus Johnson trade as the number two best trade of all time.
For the Bucks?
Yeah.
Where did they get the Bucks? A guy who wanted to shoot every
time?
They
say Marcus Johnson and Bridgman were advancing in years, so they sold high and picked up three guys who would be key figures for the team for another period of contending.
I didn't like
it. Hodges, Pierce, and Terry Cummings. But you are also a super Marcus Johnson
fan. I was. Marcus Johnson... followed by Brian Winters.
Worst trades, how about the Ray Allen, Gary Payton trade?
Terrible.
Gary Payton and Desmond Mason, who was at the game last night.
Yeah, the Cowboy, they called him.
For Ray Allen, Kevin Ollie, and Ron Murray.
Yeah, not good. Not a good trade.
No.
I mean, Ray Allen, because they didn't get along with George Karl. Those two still don't like each other. And, you know, Gary Payton had an association with George Karl from Seattle. And I thought Gary didn't want to be here either.
I'm going to vote on another recent trade when they traded a 2015 second rounder and a 2017 first rounder for Grievous Vasquez.
Yes, stupid. I don't know why at the time. The ink wasn't even dry on that move, and it was dumb. But it's, you know... I just thought, to me, the Marcus Johnson, and maybe because Marcus is a personal favorite of mine.
I want to take a look at the NBA standings. If you want to pull up the Western Conference standings for reference.
All right.
If you'd like to do that.
Good questions today.
Thank you. Warriors, Nuggets, Thunder, Blazers, Rockets, Spurs, Jazz, Clippers. That's your playoffs right now.
Yeah, that's a lot of teams.
The Clippers are number 8. They're 30-25, although they just had a sell move with Tobias Harris. The Kings are trying to get in. They just traded for Harrison Barnes. The Lakers are there 27-27. Now, the Lakers does not appear at all like they're going to get Anthony Davis today. And you saw that picture where LeBron James was sitting 5 seats in between him and his entire team. Yeah. So I just want to ask you, where will the Lakers finish up in the Western Conference this season?
I think they're going to sneak in. The Clippers will fade.
It's hard to bet against LeBron, even if his team hates him.
I have a feeling the Lakers, somehow he's going to pull that team into the postseason.
Even though they hate him?
Who?
The Lakers players don't seem to like LeBron that much.
Well, I mean...
Pelicans flat out sabotage the Lakers, man, with these trade offers.
God forbid a guy who wants to win, and as guys got championship rings, you would hate a guy who's one of the best players ever. No, I think...
But that's like if you work with someone who wants to win and then they want to win without you, though.
Well, he's just looking to get better. Those guys should get better then. You know, they're not good enough. I would say the Lakers, The Lakers are going to get in, I think. Sacramento, it's amazing because Sacramento's trying like hell to get in the postseason, whereas the Clippers don't care. And the Lakers somewhat care. LeBron cares. LeBron wants to get in.
So yeah, I don't know who gets in there.
I'm going to say the Lakers.
Warriors will get in, Nuggets, Thunder, Blazers, Rockets, Spurs.
Yeah.
And then you're looking at Utah will get in.
Yeah, I think Utah will get in.
So then you're looking at the Clippers, Kings, Lakers, and Mavs, and Timberwolves for one spot.
But all those teams, and of course the NBA would love the Lakers to get in for obvious reasons.
Oh, they'd love the Lakers. You want to talk about a 1-8 matchup, Lakers at the Warriors?
I mean, do you think they want Sacramento and the Warriors?
No.
Or the Clippers and the Warriors? No, they'd love the Lakers. They want the Lakers in there.
Well, yeah.
The Lakers, an 8-1, somehow that'll be the prime time game all the time.
Question number 5, and I ask you this because it somewhat seems inevitable that we're going to get the number 3-seeded Marquette Golden Eagles against the number 6 Wisconsin Badgers in the NCAA tournament. Mm-hmm. It just feels like that's a matchup waiting to happen. Let's say, and Marquette won this season when they did play at Pfizer. The two teams play each other tomorrow night, mm-hmm. neutral court. I've set the spread at 2.5 in favor of Marquette.
So if they play at Miller Park, let's say they have a game at Miller Park.
Let's say, sure.
Okay.
Well, that's not that neutral. That's Milwaukee. And Miller Park is also a baseball field.
Yeah. You know, they almost played each other in the Metrodome in 2003. They were in the Sweet 16, the same bracket. Oh. Marquette won, Wisconsin lost, so Marquette played Kentucky in
the regional final. Let's say they play on the moon.
Okay.
Marquette's a 2.5-point favorite.
Yes.
Where are you putting your money?
I'm still putting on Marquette. Marquette's the better team. They're not top 10 in the country good, but they're still better than Wisconsin. They are. They should have won that game the other night against St. John's. Should have won that game. Bad execution in the final 16 seconds of that game.
I thought they had it.
Bad. I mean, come on. They had a two-man game going with him, with Marcus Howard and Hauser, and the best you can get is a double-pump three-point try. Come on, Marcus Howard, you're better than that.
Well, the shot he made like right before that was amazing.
Yeah, but still, you know, you show me a guy who hit a double-pump three-point shot.
Is that a good line, you think, 2.5?
All right. Neutral floor, yeah.
That'd be about what it would be?
I would say. I'll take that. I'd take Marquette, too.
3.5?
Whatever. I'll take Marquette.
13.5. Remember, if they're playing on the moon, there's really no gravity.
No, well, I take Wisconsin to keep it close at 13.5.
Less gravity. It's Chuck and Winkler. We are served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. Giannis, they don't play tonight, but he's got a tough decision to make in terms of who he's drafting for the All-Star game. We'll talk about that and everything else we did not cover coming up next here on The Fan. Valentine's Day is a week from today. Remember to send your loved one the Valentine's Day gift of her dreams, and we've got it for you at the price of your dreams. You can never go wrong with Shari's Berries. So I've been using Shari's Berries for a while now, whether it's the berries or the flowers for Mother's Day and Valentine's Day. And Valentine's Day, this works, man. I mean, the chocolate and flowers thing, there's a reason it's so successful, is because it works, and they love it. And these berries are delicious, too. I usually try to sneak a few for myself, so then we always end up, I order the berries as a gift, and then I eat half of them, and then I got to make it up to her by ordering some more, which is fine, because they're delicious, and they come with the 100% Shari's Berries guarantee. They are thick, juicy berries dipped in the milk, dark, or white chocolate, topped with the decadent toppings, the chocolate chips, the sprinkles, the nuts, always fresh, always tasty, with that 100%, again, guarantee. Valentine's Day is a week from today. I cannot warn you guys enough. Again, give her the Valentine's Day gift of her dreams at the price of your dreams. It starts at just $19.99 plus shipping and handling. Now, I did say chocolate and flowers, because not only will you get the berries, but if you order now, you can make Valentine's Day really special by adding a dozen red roses for just $19.99 more. Shipped with your Shari's Berries at no extra charge. It comes in one box. It gives you instructions on where to cut the flowers and how to, even if you don't know, and gives you instructions so you can set it up for her when she comes home. Go to berries.com, click on the microphone, berries.com, and enter the code Winkler at checkout, berries.com. Click on the microphone, enter the code Winkler, and order today.
Chuck
Ryan Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That's Chuck Freeman. Ryan Horvath, our producer, is here. Everything we did not get to, we'll get to it now. And then the Bill Michaels Show coming up 10 to 2. They will be live on the air for the trade deadline action. Trade deadline at 2 o'clock today in the NBA. Big show then immediately after that. We, Horvath and I, will be in the brand new, luxurious 105.7 FM The Fan Facebook Live studios. Although I'm actually not sure if the conference room is booked then or not, but that's where we'll be.
Well, the conference room could be divided into a couple of different studios.
I know, but you know how our sales staff is. They're slinging, wheeling, and dealing every day.
Yeah.
There's meetings going on all the time here.
Yeah.
I mean, that conference room is
maybe you have
tough to
do it
get
for
into. It's like an exclusive club.
Broom closet, maybe?
We might have to go in the broom closet.
Yeah.
There is a broom closet that Bill Schmidt uses as his office, but I don't think he's back until tomorrow, so we could do it from the Bill Schmidt broom closet.
Okay.
Because those guys are out, him and Timmy, in Vegas.
Out there for like 2 weeks in Vegas.
Yeah. Who spends more than 3 days in Vegas,
jeez,
man?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good question. They've been out there for a long time. I've actually forgot about them until just now. But we'll be on Facebook Live from 1:30 till about
2:15. So who's been doing, I haven't heard the afternoon show because I've, you know, take a little nap there, but
yeah,
who's been doing Billy's job?
Well, Steve, just like when they've always done it.
Sparky, I mean, there's three of them, four of them.
But who's the moderator?
Sparky.
Sparky's teased it up? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Well, so, who did you think it was going to be?
I don't know.
Leroy?
Leroy runs the board.
I don't know. I didn't know if they brought somebody else in to tee it up or whatever. I mean, because, so Billy's been given the job as the afternoon guy.
Yeah.
And he leaves for Vegas.
He already had a plan, though.
Yeah.
He didn't know he was getting the afternoon job.
Okay. Right. That was part of the thing. Okay.
That's why if you ever work at a new place, they only give you so much vacation, right, when you start?
Yeah.
Always book a trip immediately before you get hired.
Yeah, tell them right away.
Because then you can say, I'll take this job, but, oh, in a month we've got this trip to, and then you usually get those days free vacation.
What if they say, well, okay, we'll get back to you and just see how we can work it out, and also the phone never rings and they moved on?
You don't tell them until you get the job.
Yeah, you get the job. You sign your papers first.
Okay.
Yeah.
Geez, did you guys do that here?
It's like when your wife tells you she really doesn't like watching bowling on Saturday mornings.
Yeah.
Right. But the papers have already been signed, you know?
And she's got to go for it, yeah.
Yeah.
I can't believe
that was the cleanest thing I could think of.
This segment is what we missed, where we go over everything we didn't cover. But if I could just re-bring back up something you said earlier, Chuck.
Me?
Yeah.
Which is, I said a lot of things today.
If I understand this right.
Yeah?
You got married to your first wife because you had softball in common with her.
Yes.
And that was it.
That was it.
All right, I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah. Like, you guys both played softball?
We both played
just
softball.
Like, avid fans?
We both played softball, played at the same complex, like the Saratoga complex, played for Club 400, you know, on Thursday nights. So
yeah,
we'd always go out, and, you know, that was that. And
were you like second base, she was shortstop, you turned double plays together?
No, we didn't play on the same team. We played on different teams, but she played on a girl's team. I played on a guy's team.
So you guys would go shag fly balls for like a date night?
Knowing
it was off season?
Batting
like,
cages? Batting cage date night?
No, she was a good player. But then, you know, when we got married, it's like, you know, she's watching TV in this room, I'm watching stuff over here, and we're finding out, boy, our music, our TV shows, everything just is not what it should be. So,
wait, does anybody like the same things as their wife, though? Like music and movies?
Yeah,
I'm not listening to Amy Grant and watching Hallmark movies all day.
Your wife likes Amy Grant?
Your wife is 55 years old?
Yeah.
I wish.
Your wife is my grandma?
God.
Your grandma's only 55 years old?
No, Amy Grant. Has never been mentioned on the show, ever.
I was just trying to think of an example. I don't know what she listens to. She's really into dance, so when I go into the car and she's got her music on, it's just like instrumental versions of songs.
So you and your wife have nothing in common, basically, what you're saying.
We both get annoyed by our kid. I mean, other than that.
All right. And then the second wife, you know, as soon as we had the kid, she was more interested in the kid than anything else. So
yeah.
And then screwing me over, that became a hobby of hers as well. But with Shannon, I mean, we got a lot of stuff in common.
Has Shannon, I don't know if this is personal, but has Shannon ever met any of your ex-wives?
Oh, good question.
Yes, the second one. They don't like each other.
No, why? Wait, tell me about this interaction. I need to hear how it went down.
They don't like each other.
We missed nothing.
They don't. Because the second wife, she just tries to, she's trying to put a dig in Shannon, and then Shannon won't have any part of it, and she'll fight back, she'll say some stuff, and yeah, so maybe one day it becomes a cat fight between those two.
And, who do you like? Well, you got to say Shannon, obviously.
Oh, Shannon would take her apart, yeah.
Chuck knows how to treat a lady.
Yeah, I wouldn't mess with that. You don't mess with a girl 110 pounds and athletic.
No.
Horvat, what did we miss today?
Okay, we did miss, obviously, trade deadline, but coming up tonight, 7 p.m. on TNT and TNTDrama.com. It's the NBA All-Star Draft Selection. Captains LeBron James from the Western Conference. Giannis captains the Eastern Conference team. They both get 12 selections. Pick four players from the starters pool, then eight from the reserves pool. Are you guys interested in this at all?
Yeah, I mean, because Giannis is part of it. Yeah, I wouldn't... normally, but yeah, I'm gonna. What time is it on?
7 p.m.
7 o'clock tonight.
Yeah, oh, 7 Eastern. I'm sorry. So
6. Okay. 6 p.m. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Bradley Beal says he doesn't like it. He says, "Well, you guys just want to see who's last."
Yeah,
that's the whole reason we're doing it. So you absolutely can see who's last. See who's
he first, just knows he's going to be last.
And who's last?
Well, Giannis especially don't want him after they say. Got thrown down last no. night.
Oh, yeah. You see that?
But he could end up with them if he is the last pick.
So
why do guys like Bradley Beal, like these 6'2", 6'3", two guards, keep getting in bigger dude's face, like Giannis? That's the one guy I really don't want to mess with. Because in the NBA, they're all soft. Everybody just kind of, you know, like bickers and then they get pulled back. Nobody fights, but I think Giannis would throw it out.
I think it's kind of phony tough. That's what it is.
I think Giannis is pretty tough.
I wouldn't mess with Giannis.
So Giannis
don't mistake his niceness for his tenacity.
His kindness for weakness.
He yelled last night, "I'm the effing MVP."
Great. I'm glad to hear it. Yes.
I love that.
Good.
That was so awesome.
He can be a freak on the court. And on the shits, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I want a guy who's feeling good about himself. It's my guy right there.
I just score a play at night.
Yeah. Bring it on, Giannis.
All right, we got another one.
I got more NBA captains' takes.
Okay, go on.
If you'll allow me.
Yeah, go on.
I have more takes on this draft.
Go.
Because Giannis has said that I'm going to take Steph Curry first.
Right.
And he's got the second pick. So does LeBron take who he really wants first, second? Because he knows Giannis is going to take Curry because Curry took him first last year. So if LeBron wants Kyrie first, does he say, well, I'm going to take KD here? Does he draft that way? Or are nobody caring about the actual draft order like I do? I also want to say that I think it's stupid that Dirk Nowitzki and Dwayne Wade are in this game. I don't like it.
Oh, I don't like the token all-star appearances either.
In any sport, like in Major League Baseball, when Cal Ripken Jr. gets
No. Henry Aaron, they gave it to Henry Aaron when the all-star game was here in 1975 when Hank was, you know, in his 40s. Didn't deserve to be in. No, you should get it on merit. I mean, you're averaging 3 points a game, Dirk. Now, Dwayne Wade is the best player on the Miami Heat, but he's coming off the bench. He's seen his better days, but he's not an all-star. He's not one of the best players in the league. So, no, I agree with you on that.
Anything else on NBA?
No, my takes have been exhausted.
Okay. Here's some breaking news. Free agent Bryce Harper met with the San Francisco Giants on Tuesday in Las Vegas. League sources with knowledge of the get-together told ESPN this. So what do you guys think about that? Bryce Harper to the Giants. Is Bryce Harper, I think he ends up in Washington. Am I crazy for that? I think he goes back to the Nationals.
You know, this contract is diminishing by the day. I just love it that him and Machado are not signed to... Just complete jerks. I don't like either one of those guys. So, yeah, he could end up in Washington. I have a feeling, though, the Yankees have yet to be heard from yet.
I was reading an article about the Giants' interest in Harper because with the Raiders wanting to play there, they would pay the Giants money to play there. Mm-hmm. And then what are the Giants going to do with that money? Well, they should go and sign a free agent. But now the Niners don't want the Raiders to play there, so the Raiders are either going to have to play in Oakland again, and Oakland doesn't want them to play there, or they're going to have to play at the Niners Stadium, Levi's Stadium. Because apparently the Niners, with the way the map is, they can say, you cannot play in San Francisco, that is our market, but Santa Clara, where they actually play, is fair game, so the Raiders would have to play in San Fran's Park, even though it's not in San Fran.
Just odd.
Stupid.
Couldn't they play in Stanford Stadium? The college football stadium, if they really needed to, Oakland? Couldn't they go to Stanford and play?
I think they should just make a mess of it and go play in London.
No, because then that's punishing everybody else in the NFL, having to go over there. Nobody wants to go over and play in London.
Well, the Raiders would get a huge competitive advantage, so I think they should try it.
Well, but I hope the league would look at that and say, well, geez, all these other teams would have to go over there, and they don't want to do that.
The simple thing would be to play at the UNLV stadium, but they can't do that for some reason.
Well,
I'm not
like
sure
I said,
what.
Play in Stanford. Yeah. Play at Stanford.
There's I've way too many teams my there. Nobody
Raiders
cares.
No. In Vegas?
In Vegas, they'll care. I'm just saying when you have the Chargers, the Rams, I mean, I like the move for Vegas. I still don't think people will care, though. I think you'll go watch your favorite team in Vegas. Like, I'm a Packers fan, so... You know, that week, let's say it's like week 13, I'll go up on a Friday because it's a good excuse to get away to go to Vegas, and then you go see the team, come back. But how many, I mean, who's going to care about the Raiders in Las Vegas?
Well, or in San Diego.
But why the would Golden you Knights in hockey, but they also won right away.
But why would you
want to cup, the, or
why would,
the cup?
Why would you allow them to play in San Diego, which they're not? You already lost a team in San Diego, okay? You already moved a team out of there.
Right.
Why give them the Raiders?
Maybe they should just take a year off.
Just... Yeah.
How about everybody who's
they
got them on the
did
schedule
this year
gets a bye?
Yeah, everyone gets a bye. They get a free win.
You get a free win.
Did you guys see, also really quick, last night, Kevin Durant went off on the media again about the trade deadline stuff?
Oh. I didn't watch that video yet, but apparently he's tired of hearing from the media.
He says he's got nothing to do with
Kevin
the Knicks.
Durant
don't
LeBron
ask him. He's just
this.
Trying to hoop. He's just he doesn't want to talk about free agency.
That's fine. And you'll see stories on Durant for the next 3 months.
Do you think he's going to stay in Golden State or no?
No.
Who knows? Why would he want to leave? Why would you want to leave? You got a great situation.
That's
what
these guys do. They get their two titles running with their mates, and then they want to prove something by themselves.
What motivates Kevin Durant, do you think?
Winning. Now he's got to win by himself for his legacy.
I think money is the ultimate
legacy,
for all
money,
these guys.
Winning.
I think money is for all these guys.
He's already got the money. He's had an endorsement deal since he came out of the league.
He's
signed with Nike.
But it doesn't matter. These guys want more. It's like LeBron. I mean, they want more money.
All right, let's start it. Kevin Durant to the Bucks next season. Hey,
never
Stars want to play with Durant, or Giannis, I should say. Yeah. Bill Michaels up next.
He's going to play in Oklahoma City.
We're back tomorrow at 6.
Bill Michaels here with my buddy Kevin.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.